Good afternoon, or morning, or evening, to my lovely Richmond Tech community. Welcome back to another episode of RVA Tech Talks. This week, I bring you Lisa Gormley, who is the tech manager, or a tech manager, rather, over at Altria. And Lisa and I had a great chat about Altria's data transformation and sort of how data is being used over there in general, and just even at a higher level, just how data transformations work and the pros and cons, etc. And we also covered a lot of interesting areas in the realm of career development and just how to be successful in tech in general. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Lisa Gormley.
This episode is brought to you by Summit Human Capital. Whether you're building a tech team or just looking for your next gig, you're going to want to partner with somebody who actually cares about building a relationship with you, not just somebody who thinks in terms of the transaction and the bottom line. And Glenn Dearson, he witnessed this firsthand after launching a successful office in DC for a global staffing firm. And he came back to Richmond to create a new way of solving that eternal conundrum of staffing tech teams. If you're a manager or an engineer, you know what I'm talking about. And he wanted to do it in a way rooted firmly in what he calls key core values.
So I'll get here in the morning around, right around six. And the first thing we do is right when you walk into the headquarters, what we want people to see is our key core values. So right when you walk in, you're seeing right away honesty, openness, effort. You're seeing every single one listed, because what we talk about when we hire associates here is it's not just living and breathing our key core values inside of work, because that's not really genuine. It's also who is the individual when no one's looking. And we're really looking for that. And it's easier said than done. And a constant reminder of social responsibility and what we owe to ourselves, our friends, our family, people that we may meet right off the street, and how they should be treated. So we want that to be the very first thing that you see, which it is. As soon as you come across that wall, you see our KCVs, which we live and breathe inside and outside the office.
So isn't this like 100% the guy you want on your side when you're either staffing a tech team or trying to find your next opportunity? I think so. Check them out at summithumancapital.com.
Lisa, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
So for people who don't know you, can you give us a little background in sort of, you know, how you became the Lisa Gormley that people know and love in 2020?
Okay, yeah. So, well, since this is RVA Tech, I'll talk about how I became, you know, who I am, at least within my career context. But first off, I work for Altria. I've been with Altria going on 21 years, which is a little bit crazy. Always kind of hate to say it because that gives away a little bit of my age. So I've been with Altria for 21 years. I started in our sales organization back in the day and actually worked in our sales group for about 7 years doing a bunch of different roles, and then joined the IS organization about 14 years ago. And did a bunch of different roles within that and moved over to data and analytics about 7. So that's kind of where I am now, is in the data and analytics space. So I have responsibility for our data warehouse, so a bunch of our tools that go along with that. And then I also support our clients in a couple of business areas, including our advanced analytics organization.
Got it. So you started out in Altria. Was that your first, that must have been like your first job out of college or something?
It was one of my first. I actually I went to undergrad at UNC, go Heels. And then I worked for a couple of years and then went back and got an MBA. And then I started with Altria out of my MBA program.
Gotcha. Okay. And that was in Richmond?
That was actually in Maryland.
In Maryland. Okay. So Altria is up in Maryland. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. So we have a sales organization all throughout the country, you know, so the folks that are calling on, you know, stores that sell our products all throughout the country. So I started out in Maryland in our sales organization.
Got it.
Then I actually moved, reload about, I guess it was 3 times over that 7-year period.
Gotcha. So you were an MBA in a sales organization, and now you're in the weeds with the technology. That's an interesting progression.
It is.
But that it's kind of cool too, because I sometimes I feel like with technology, you know, there's sort of two big avenues, and one of the big avenues is how much do you know the technology? How much can you apply the, you know, best practice architectures to some sort of business problem? And then the other huge part of it that I feel like is generally, it's kind of unsung, if you will,
But it's definitely, like, I think it's well known within organizations, is the side of how well do you know the business, and then that quickly becomes how well do you know the data. Because you can't, if you don't have the right data and you don't know the business value, you're going to be missing the, you know, you're going to be two ships missing in the night, you know, passing in the night, and it's going to cause much gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's funny you say that, because when I'm talking about, like, my background and, you know, when I made that first hop, I was like really surprised that the opportunity came up, because I didn't seek it out. It came to me, right? Someone had reached out that I had worked with and offered me a role within our IT organization, to which I was a little like, why me? I don't have that background. I didn't study technology in college. I hadn't been doing that role. And they talked about the other things that I could bring, right? So understanding the business, communications, leadership. Mm-hmm. And then I had kind of a similar experience when I joined data and analytics 7 years ago. Because I, again, was like, oh, that's a really, really technical organization. Why me? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, am I up to that role, right? And they said, you know, you understand how the business uses the data. And so, no, you're not, you don't know, you know, there's a technical team to support you in the actual hands-on activities, but you understand how the business needs to use the data, and you understand the data itself, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those folks are... I remember that lesson first hit me when I was doing this, like, IT audit for Chesterfield County. And there was, like, the traditional org structure that we all looked at in terms of, like, the IT hierarchy and, you know, who's the highest step on sort of in the IT realm. But doing investigations sort of how things worked, as it turned out, there was this woman who was in this position that was, like, very, very, like, unglamorous. But it was like all roads led back to her and her small group, and they were like the data stewards. They were the ones who sort of kept track of, like, you know, how the business was gathering data from all its different arms all over the place.
Yeah.
It almost takes a special mind to do that, because if you're focused on the tech and the bits and the bytes, you can miss out on changing ecosystems, you know, in terms of, like, how the business works.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you eventually, now you're in this sales, you were in the sales organization. Now you're in this sort of technical leadership role.
Yeah.
So what is that exactly, like, what is your team doing? If you could describe it in a word, like, you mentioned advanced data and analytics,
yeah.
But kind of what is your specific role, like, in the, you know, like,
yeah, so we provide access to data, and we provide tools that enable the business to work with it. So we're, you know, supporting data analysts and data scientists in their, like, use cases. So they dream up some opportunity, and we make sure they have the data that they need in order to evaluate it. So we have this environment, this technical environment that we've built, and then we surface up data to them. So we make sure they have what they need for their analysis and use cases.
Got it. And I was reading online, there was some sort of a brief from a conference where it was talking about using Databricks, which I'm actually familiar with myself,
yep.
as a Spark environment to do, you know, advanced analytics, like to do extract, transform, and load operations, and to do just large queries. And
sure.
And then also I saw mentioned Azure Data Lake, and maybe even like Azure Databricks.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you may have certain tools you can and can't talk about, but in general, I guess maybe a better question than I was just originally going to ask, which was going to be what are the tools? Can you just sort of describe that, like, abstraction layer that you maintain? That's the big idea, is you don't want, you know, you want data analysts focusing on the data, not like the, you know, our, you know, compute instances running so that we can run certain data operations.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point. Yeah. So you're right. We're on, you know, we actually moved, we've been in this, like, journey, we call it, on this, like, data and analytics transformation over the last couple of years. So we've, like, got a whole new set of tools than we had maybe a couple years ago. So, you know, we moved from that, like, those big servers, traditional kind of tools, to a whole suite of more modern kind of data tools. And so one of them is Databricks. So we use the Azure environment you know, including the data lake for storage. And so, yeah, Databricks is one of the key tools that we have. And we use that both for like ETL, like you talked about, right? Kind of transforming data sets, sometimes just to send to other third parties or other applications and systems. And then we also make that available to our analysts and our data scientists. So that's what a lot of our analysts and data scientists are using, whether it's for machine learning models, you know, or queries and that kind of stuff. Now, we also have more structured, traditional kind of, you know, environment too. We've got some SQL. We're moving from a SQL managed instance to Synapse so that we have kind of more structured data available also. And then we have a lot of use of Power BI. So, you know, for people that are just don't, to your point, don't need to worry about all the data itself and how to query it and all that, but need to have access to the data to be able to make decisions on it and insights. And we use that heavily.
Gotcha. And I'm actually not super familiar with Power BI, but that would be like, you would have almost pre-saved queries and preset dashboards, and you would just almost, it's more consumption oriented as opposed to like making the data oriented.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right. I mean, so we're using it a lot for kind of visualization. It's got a lot of capabilities, but a lot of where we use it is kind of making kind of published data sets available. And then users can visualize it and, you know, and kind of drill into it and slice it different ways for their needs.
Right. Right. So how big is the team that you guys are servicing? Is it like, because honestly, when I think about it, you know, Altria, I don't really have a good grasp of what the business portfolio is, which is a shame because I live in Richmond. I probably should know that. But I know you guys are doing, like off the top of my head, I know there was like the sort of the vaping sort of e-cigarette, like futuristic tobacco consumption stuff. And then there's obviously probably the traditional like cigarettes and other like tobacco products. And then is there more lines of business that you guys have? Just to pause for a minute and give some context.
Yeah. So, I mean, Altria is like the parent company, right? As you mentioned, like we've got these different companies underneath. And so one of them is PM USA, which is our, you know, cigarette business. And then we have other companies, US Smokeless Tobacco, which is our smokeless business, John Middleton, our cigars. And so we have some other lines of business or companies like St. Michelle Wine Estates, which operates a little bit more independently. And so for kind of my role within Altria Client Services, if you will, we're like a shared group in IS that provides services across various companies. But we don't do anything really with St. Michelle Wine Estates. And so largely we're supporting kind of our core tobacco business. And, you know, within that, some of what we're doing from a data and analytics, though, is helping, you know, there's kind of multiple clients in the hop, if you will. So like I said, advanced analytics is kind of one of my clients, but their clients are going to be like the operating companies and the brand groups who are going to be, you know, wanting to build a model to say, you know, if they're going to do a promotion, which consumers should they send it to? If they're going to do a pricing initiative, like, how much should it be, like, so that they can, you know, hit the whatever goals they have with the brand, but also do it cost effectively. And so directly, my clients tend to be either in the analytics organization or in like the sales organization, but they are kind of doing their efforts on behalf of the brands and the operating companies.
Gotcha. So you're not in advanced analytics, you're in client services.
Yeah, I'm in IS, in our IT department, if you will. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. So you're working with all those business stakeholders to make sure essentially the data is in the right place and it's accessible and however they've understood it would be. Is that kind of the like, you're almost like the, you're like in the middle, making sure everything is where it should be for all these people who need this data. Is that like a,
yeah, that's kind of a good summary, I guess.
What would your summary be?
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, obviously it's more than just the data because, you know, it's kind of got an architecture component to it. We work really closely with the some of these kind of stakeholders, including advanced analytics. So a lot of times we're working kind of with them in agile pods, right? And so we're sometimes working closely on their use cases. Like my team typically isn't doing any of the actual like analytics, but we are doing the, you know, technology part. If there's a new infrastructure component needed, if there's data, we are doing a lot of times the data engineering work, like the ETL, prep it, get it ready for them. And then the end users are doing more of the actual analytics. And so I talked about advanced analytics. We also do a lot of the data and stuff we have is for sales. So what we typically are doing is providing stuff that's for like the sales, internal sales resources so that they can have good conversations at retail, right? So if they're looking to have a conversation at retail and about out of stocks or distribution opportunities or trade programs, we're providing, you know, data and visualization and report that help them have those conversations.
Got it. So you're not selling the data. You're giving the data to sales.
Correct.
Not to sell. Okay, got it. And
maybe one day in the future, you know, we could monetize the data, but we're not today.
I mean, I feel like, you know, if I could, you know, if I love cigarettes and I wanted to get a pack of cigarettes and they said, do you want to pay $6 or do you want to give away your personal data? I'd be like, take my data, man. Give it to me for free. Just like social media, right?
Yeah.
I wonder, maybe we'll be in some sort of weird future where that'll be, you know, you'll have your vaping pen, which will be like reading your stress levels through your saliva enzymes and your heart rate and through your fingers. And, you know, it could maybe even pick up some sort of sentiment analysis.
Yeah,
and then it could pass that data back, you know.
Sure. There's a ton of opportunities. I will say, you know, one important thing for my team is like, we're always have this like stop gate, if you will, or whatever, through like our governance process. Like before any data comes to us, it's like somebody else in legal or somewhere else has said, like, is this data that we should collect? Like, is it responsible? Is it legal?
Yeah.
Is this going to be appropriate? So I leave all of those hard questions about what we can collect and, you know, because that stuff can get, you know.
Yeah. And it's going to be changing, I'm sure. I mean, we're already seeing the effects of GDPR over in Europe. But that's customers are going to have more and more say, I guess, in general over, like, you know, because I feel like the Wild West is over, you know, the era where consumers weren't wary of like giving away their data is probably over. And that's good. You know, I love those buttons where I can, you know, download all my data. Never done it, but I like that it's there.
Yeah, for sure. Great.
You know, for like all my data that a certain product has on me.
Yeah.
I guess you can't really probably like opine on what, you know, the future of tobacco could be. But it's definitely an interesting field because it's like a weird, it's sort of like food, except for there's like a device involved. It's just interesting because to me, and you don't have to respond to this because I know I can have an opinion, but like, you know, with like, it's interesting because it's an interesting integration of like of the biometric self and then like the customer, right? So it's like it's a very unique experience. Like you're putting this thing in your mouth and you're smoking it and it's giving you this sort of pleasure. And it's just, it's a really interesting sort of, like that's one of those fields where like, you know, a lot of fields I'm like, you know, the it's probably going to be the same in 20 years, but this industry is one that I'm like, I'm really curious where it's going to, you know, end up, where, how it's going to evolve, especially in the next 20 years.
Yeah. We did recently convert, rewrote our mission, if you will, and came out with like a new 10-year vision, which is like to responsibly lead the transition of adult smokers to a non-combustible future. So we're, you know, on that mission to kind of reduce harm of the products that are being used.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, especially with the legalization of like cannabis and cannabis type products and a bunch of other experimentation going on with other sort of like mind-altering drugs, I just wonder if there'll be some sort of opportunity to sort of swap out something that has that like deleterious effect of cancer on people and replace it with something that gives them that same sort of escape, but does it in like a healthy way. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling.
Yeah, I'm definitely outside of my lane, although I'm obviously all for anything that reduces risk and, you know, makes it, makes us have a, you know, be responsible and still successful as a business, right?
Yeah.
Lane in IT though, for sure.
Totally. So you had to get approval, obviously, on what sort of like, you know, first of all, you guys have to figure out, okay, is this data we actually want? And is the customer sort of giving us permission to use it, et cetera. So once you had that data, I got a little confused when you were like sort of describing y'all's role, but you're essentially like a horizontal, like this horizontal team that does like picks up the pieces and makes the data picture fit. And if another team needs to do something with data, whether it be a sales team or a product team, they come to you guys and say, hey, can you help us make this happen?
Yeah, that sounds fair.
It sounds like, honestly, like you do a lot. Like it's a either it's too difficult to describe.
I hesitated that, you know, not all data in the company comes through my team, right? So there's data in, you know, finance and HR and a lot of different places, but we do have this like data warehouse, if you will, and it's really the hub of like our sales and marketing data, right? So the idea to be kind of end to end as it relates to like the consumer interaction. So, you know, information on like purchases or coupon redemption or like website traffic type stuff, or, you know, maybe supply chain type things. And there's some of that that we might not fully have today that we'll expand. So I think we'll kind of expand from that. Like, you know, we're always looking at what new data set makes sense. And so I think over time we'll have more and more of that, like kind of in our space, but it's probably never going to have all the components of data that exist like in the company. And so there's some of it that's, you know, going to stay in the business areas and in other technologies and whatnot, but we're kind of really focused right now largely on the sales and marketing space.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess long-term, I mean, to me, when I think about sort of data trends in general, there's that one of the big benefits of consolidating all the data in a single warehouse or a data lake is that you can protect it in a uniform way and then make sure that, like, you know, there's lifecycle management rules that are in place. So data is being shuffled around, you know, when, for example, if you no longer are allowed to keep it, or if you know, it's data that you don't really want and you just kind of, you're allowed to get rid of it, you can cycle it out and it just gives you this fresh, secure data set that you can also, like, especially with some of these managed services, like, you know, I know in Amazon S3, I'm sure with the, what is it called? Data blob storage. That's it. Blob storage in Azure. Like, you know, they have all sorts of crazy rules that you can use from a compliance perspective to make sure there's no anomalies. There's no huge exfiltrations, that, you know, certain data has certain encryption algorithms in place.
Yep.
It just gives that, like, just, I mean, if I was the CISO, you know, the security person, I would be up at night if I knew that there was just like teams that had data just like scrolled away, which I'm sure that happens no matter what, you know, but.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you're right though. When we, you know, so we definitely had, you know, as we were kind of building this out, right, you had the basic of, you know, making sure that what we were building and technologies we were selecting are like secure, right? That goes through all those checks, right? I definitely have counterparts in security that I talk to regularly.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
And then we've got that other side of it, which is on the data governance side. So there's definitely some data that they are not approving right now.
Yeah, I guess over time, I imagine, you know, it'll all be centralized, at least to an extent, but who knows? Mm-hmm. I know some things they're moving in the opposite direction towards, like more federation.
Maybe some of those risks.
I'd like to pause for just a moment and mention this week's sponsor, Summit Human Capital. I mean, like, if you need technology, recruiting, or IT services, aka if you have a talent gap on your IT team, or maybe you're just an individual in search of a new career opportunity, well, you're going to want to check these folks out. Because at Summit Human Capital, they just do things a little bit differently. And that approach focuses on relationships, not just transactions. Your engagement with Summit Human Capital starts by working to uncover your vision first, your own personal vision for yourself, for your career, for your business. Because the Summit Human Capital family wants to genuinely and authentically know your broader goals. And once they have a pulse on that, they can be extremely effective at finding the right fit. They also know that that vision may change over time, and that's why they think in the long term, not just the short term. And they want to be your service of choice, not just today or not just tomorrow, but next year, next decade, forever. The Summit Way is all about building these long-term relationships and positively changing lives for your company, for your business, for the people around you, for yourself. And if you're a candidate that's ready for the next career move, or maybe you're just an employer with a huge talent gap, a burning talent gap on your IT team, then please reach out to summithumancapital.com and allow these folks to prove why they consistently rate 5 out of 5 stars, why they've grown 1,000% over the past 2 years, why they're the best in town. Summit Human Capital, positively changing lives by connecting talent to opportunity.
Can I change gears and ask about you?
Sure.
So Lisa, what do you like to do in your spare time?
Well, pre-COVID or during COVID?
Actually, both. I've been in my previous interviews, I've been saying pre-COVID, but now I'm thinking it's just as interesting an answer post-COVID. So can you do both?
I don't know. Is there an end in sight? Wish that we knew. I think you and I were talking. So I've got three kids. So that obviously keeps me really busy.
Yeah.
And so pre-COVID, we definitely, filled up our calendar with a lot of those activities, right? So my oldest does robotics, my middle one does gymnastics, and my younger one does soccer. So lots of times that we fill up, like going to different activities, traveling to competitions, that kind of stuff. So not a lot of that going on at the moment, unfortunately, yeah. A little bit of local stuff, but I love to travel. Not a lot of that going on at the moment either.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, right now we're filling up a lot of our time with hanging out with our neighbors, outside on a deck,
Yeah.
Riding bikes and that kind of stuff. So nothing too crazy.
Is it, for me personally, the absence of all the kids' activities has honestly been so nice. And I love all my friends and family, but it is kind of nice to just everyone just kind of chilled out. So I get maybe a third of the number of texts I would get on the weekend to be like, hey, can you guys hang out? Hey, can you guys make it to this party? Hey, this and that.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. But I know people who are, really missing that. Which kind of camp do you fall in? Are you kind of an extrovert or are you an introvert?
I think I'm an introvert. But I still miss it. And it's not like I need something all the time, but I do miss, I haven't seen, my parents almost at all since this started. I saw my mom twice. I haven't seen my in-laws at all this entire year. Yeah. So we miss that. We don't have family in Richmond. So everybody they're not really okay. Far, but we have a lot of people, whether it's Maryland or Minnesota, Michigan, various places. So we really haven't seen almost anybody. So I really miss that. But I do think that this slowed down pace is nice too. It's not all bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you were an introvert, and that actually jogged my memory from our conversation when we were talking about you coming on the show.
Yeah.
And you were sort of, we were laughing about how, you can be introverted, but be good at speaking and have that talent. And so I wanted to ask you, for all of the introverts in leadership out there, and not to say you're but I feel like sometimes when people use introverted, extroverted, it's almost like it's kind of overplayed a little bit. Sometimes I think not everyone is one or the other is kind of what I'm trying to say. Not that it's overplayed, but people are kind of somewhere in the middle, I feel like, in a lot of cases. But for you, you have some introverted qualities. You're introverted sometimes. If someone feels like they can't get into leadership and they're scared to get on the stage, but they feel like, it's kind of what they want, but they just feel like their personality isn't fit for that. Do you have any hacks or how do you manage, how do you recharge? What's your protocol?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I'll start by saying that I don't know that I don't know if I'm good at this, right? Yes. I think I'm a little bit of an introvert. I did say, I'm not a fan of public speaking. I don't know if that's an introvert, extrovert thing. I know a lot of people aren't. I certainly probably fall into that camp. I will say that I do think practice helps, right? Like the more you do it over time, right? I've been with Altair now 21 years. So I've had to do it a number of times. Occasionally I want to do it. Generally, probably 90% of the time, it's not so much I choose to or whatever. You could kind of get voluntold or you're the person who knows the subject the most, right?
Right.
So it's
right.
It's your project. It's your thing. I mean, of course you're going to be the person talking on it. So it does get easier over time. I will say, I think it's depending on who you're talking to, I think practice. Right. Flush it out. I think that's can be super important too.
You seem calm. For all the people I've interviewed, you seem like you're relaxed.
Okay. I think, thank you.
No, that's definitely a compliment. But I guess that just comes to practice, you know, because it sounds like that's not a natural. It's not like you hop on the stage and you're like, this is my thing. Like, this is my, you know, I was born to be on the stage. So I guess,
well, and you know, maybe it helps. I mean, Zoom is a virtual one. You know, if this was on a stage and there were lots of people in an audience, I might be way more nervous than knowing that, you know, maybe you just have the record button and people are going to listen to it later. And I probably don't even have to ever listen to it myself. Just pretend totally. The whole thing never happened.
So practice makes perfect, or practice makes better.
Yeah. I will say too, we used to at Altria have like a Toastmasters organization. And so the company sponsored a couple of different Toastmaster groups that we had in various buildings. And I know a bunch of people that participated in that and got a lot of value out of it. You know, from a public speaking perspective, that, you know, it kind of structured you, gives you a bunch of tips. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely benefit from that. I'm really good at just rambling, but I'm not good at like getting up and delivering like a story, you know, like a, like almost like a, with a punchline at the end. Like, that's not my jam, but I could totally benefit from sort of, I think I speak for myself. I almost speak for myself as an audience sometimes. And I forget, like, my audience is not necessarily hearing the thing that I am hearing myself say, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, like, I think you're great at it. So,
well, if you guys ever open up your Toastmasters for all of Richmond, you
sure, we'll let you know.
All right, so we don't have a ton of time left, but I wanted to ask two more questions. One is about for people who look at you and your success and kind of like, you know, you've clearly been successful at Altria. Like, what are some tips for you know, what are some things that maybe you do every day that contribute to that success? And you can define success however you want. Like, if, you know, maybe just success is the fact that you're happy in your job, regardless of how you've progressed or whatever. But like, what's something that you do every day that like makes you good at the things that you do?
That's a good question. Think for a few, you know, you asked a couple parts of that question. So one of it was like, you know, being sort of about being happy with your job. And, you know, it talked about at the beginning about how I did all these different roles. And, you know, there were times where I was in a role that I didn't always love. Right. And those are sometimes the hardest, because you know, I think it's still important to like show up every day and work really hard and think about like, what are you getting out of that role? So, you know, I had about a year and a half or so where I was managing the service desk, and that wasn't my favorite role. I thought at some point, like, I was like, oh gosh, that felt like maybe a small role. I mean, I know it's important, but it felt like a small role. And I just had to kind of try to get my framework to think about like, what am I going to get, you know, what am I learning? What can I bring to it? And I found that that's to be really helpful, at least in terms of one, making sure that I feel good about going to work every day. And I think it helps me do a good job in any role that I'm in. I think obviously it's ideal if you find a role that you like love. I will say, like, I love the data and analytics space. I didn't plan to be here. I'm so happy I ended up here. I think if I had to do it all over again, this would be my chosen career. And I'd probably maybe even be on the analytics side and, you know, could be a data scientist or something.
What do you love about it, if I could interrupt and ask?
I don't know. I just think it's really, you know, for one, I think it's a really good fit for my skills. Even though I wasn't technical by background, I think I'm like kind of I think I would be a like math geek in another world or whatnot. So it fits me. And I love the idea. It feels like a challenge you're trying to solve sometimes, right? Where you're like trying to dig into data and investigate something or figure out, you know, how to use it to come up with some plans or whatnot. So I just find the whole field very interesting. And of course, right now it's like a hot field from a technology perspective, right? So a lot of opportunities with it, right? So the technology is always changing. So it's not something like you're going to get bored with it, right? You're not going to get stagnant. So I definitely encourage people, if they're like looking at careers and they're young in their careers, I'm trying to, my kids that are going to college, like, anybody want this great field? I'm going to a lot of opportunity, always looking for talent. On a day-to-day, you know, one of the things that I think is super important is to try to always be thinking about like prioritization and like what's most important. because every single day I have way more to do than I can possibly get done. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly trying to think about like what is really most important and take that step back like all the time. And we have formal processes like Agile that help you like, you know, groom stories and prioritize them. But even the stuff that's outside of it, you know, just trying to kind of think about, you know, what do I really need to get done? What's most important? And
yeah,
find that really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I promised you two more questions, and this is the second one. And this is kind of a question, but I'll phrase it like this. Pretend I'm a young engineer, like you were just describing, or a young product person, a young aspiring mover and shaker in the world. And sell me on coming to Altria. Sell me on like, if you could, like you can give me the actual pitch, or you can just say like what you love about all the opportunities and interesting sort of adventures that this career with this company has led you on.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I don't know what the official pitch is, so I'll give you my version. I mean, obviously I must think it's good. I've stayed for 21 years, right? I think the people are great. And so maybe I'm lucky in that the people that I've worked with have kind of consistently been a great team. But, you know, I feel like I work with people that are, you know, caring, that are smart, talented. We work as a team. So great people. Even culturally, like, you know, I don't know if you've seen in Richmond lately, like Altria has been really committed to like diversity and inclusion and kind of taking like a leadership role in that space. So I'm really
impressed with that.
Yeah. So I think that makes people feel really comfortable. They're clearly, it's important culturally. So that comes from the top down. Good benefits. You know, we're talking about technology, right? Technology is constantly changing. And so at some places that you really have to struggle to get to be able to take like classes, you know, we definitely invest in training and development so that people can kind of continuously grow in their career. And there's just seems like there's always been opportunity. So obviously for me, like I was able to like do all these different roles to relocate multiple times. Some of it is I hope it's through the work I've put in, but that means there's also this opportunity that the company has, right? So that, you know, once you're kind of in a role, there's lots of ways to continue to grow. And so I think it's a good opportunity from that aspect.
Yeah.
And I probably am going to have a couple of postings. just started an employee referral program.
So if anyone is interested, how should they contact you? Or how should they, you know, LinkedIn, or do you have an email that you want to share, or how, what's the best
way? Yeah. I mean, people can definitely email me. We do have a posting portal, and I'm like, it's kind of escaping me exactly what it is right now in terms of how to get to it. Because I think if you probably search for Altria's website, you'll come across it and how to, you know, be able to search for open positions. So we do tend to post our positions in a way that, you know, you can kind of search it, filter it, you know, by location. And
if someone's like, I want to work with Lisa, like this person sounds really cool and I want to work on her team or as close to her team as possible. Like, are you guys hiring right now? Like if.
Yeah. Lisa.c.gormley@altria.com. I will probably have, within the next couple of months, I probably will have a couple of postings, but particularly the data and analytics space, there are spots that tend to come up on my team. And there's a couple of different spots. So like in our business area, like advanced analytics, they're regularly looking for talent. We actually sometimes kind of move talent across the groups, right? Because a lot of times the skills are similar, right? If you know Spark and you can code, you can maybe be a data engineer in IT. You can maybe be on the analytics or advanced analytics side. So love to have them.
Awesome. All right. Well, I really enjoyed that chat. Thanks for making the time. And in general, people kind of want to follow whatever you're up to. I don't know, like if people were like, if you ever spoke at a conference or whatever, or wrote a blog, or people just want to kind of follow you in general, are you on Twitter or LinkedIn or?
I am on LinkedIn. I probably am not nearly as active as should be, but I am on LinkedIn. You know, maybe look for me in a conference sometime next year, but nothing on the radar right now.
You guys should present at the RVA Tech Data Summit.
Yeah, it has come up, and so maybe we'll see. You know, we'll see. It might be a panelist there. Talked about the women in technology or something. I don't, you know, but with everything virtual, I'm not really sure where everything's going to land. So.
True. Yep. Amen. Hopefully we can meet in person at some point. And hopefully the near future, maybe the distant future.
Yeah.
Who knows? And thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
All right, guys, tune in 2 weeks for the next episode of RVA Tech Talks. And as always, we're tremendously appreciative of this week's sponsor, Summit Human Capital. And please reach out to them at summithumancapital.com. And a shout out to Claire Morgan at Notterly.com, who edited this episode.